And welcome to the second part of Spending MP's special Best of 2017. This is going to be our television episode where Pierre and I talk about our favorite television shows of 2017.
Wait, 2017?
Yeah, 2017.
Fuck.
What year were you talking?
I was thinking 2016, but that's fine.
Wait, why? Why were you talking? Wait,
yeah,
were you seriously?
2017 makes sense.
All right.
That was great.
You scared me there for a second. All right. This year has been fucking fantastic for television. It's been really, really good. I've had a hard time making this list.
People keep on talking about like the golden age of television. Like, it's been lasting a long fucking time.
No complaints from me.
No complaints. No, like, absolutely no complaints. But, like, I mean, part of this is just the, you know, you're not just dealing with three major networks.
Yep.
You have cable in there, you have streaming services on there, you've got fucking, like, paid streaming service. Like, there's TV everywhere, and so much of it is good. Who knew people could write that well?
And this list, before we started this, when Pierre first got here, we had to, like, kind of go through a list of just generally stuff that came out this year.
Like, too much.
It's a ton of stuff that came out this year. It's crazy the amount of stuff that came out this year. I think Pierre's still trying to form his list. He's much more of a television guy than I am.
I have much more time for
TV
than other medium.
So I'm going to start this out with my best television. I'm going to do top three. This is my personal top three. I'm going to some honorable mentions, things that were really good that did make it on my list. The Deuce. Love that show. It's by the guy who created The Wire. It takes place in New York. It is about a time like maybe about decades before I was born. So like, it's about kind of New York City
in the mid 70s.
And that time in New York was very different than you might know it now. Like, people would know it now. Like, you do not go to Times Square. That was not a tourist thing. Like, Times Square was...
It's what historically you thought of New York.
I don't know what people even think of New York anymore.
Yeah, that's what people... Like, New York was just dangerous and you'll get killed. Like, don't go...
Well, I'm from, like, right down there and you're a little bit older.
That's what the thought was.
Like, you couldn't go... Like, there were... Times Square was porn shops, X-rated shows, prostitution everywhere. It wasn't until, like, Giuliani came around and, like, really, really cleaned that place up. He really...
You're giving Giuliani a lot of credit there.
I will not stand for
Spending MP giving Giuliani credit for that shit.
Let's just use it. It started around that time. Whether or not he's credited for it.
It was before that.
It was.
Anyway.
But anyway. So, it takes place in that. It's really about, like, a lot of the sex workers that live there, both prostitutes, pimps, people that work in bars. And there's a lot of, like, really interesting things at that time. There are a bunch of obscenity laws that actually prevent you from having pornographic material that shows, like, full frontal. Like, you can't actually show penetration, I don't think. Like, so it's not really legal. People are importing things.
So it's Cinemax.
Yeah, it's probably, yeah. Probably even a little tamer than that. And there's a weird thing when you watch this show. It's like, you see people that, like, that are going to movie theaters and just jerking off in movie theaters. Like, these fucking creeps. Or what they would have is in, like, porn shops, it's like, there's no curtain. You just walk into this place. And they'll have a little booth in the back that, like, will play a little movie and you just kind of whack off as you watch it.
So this always, like, I always felt bad for Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman.
Okay.
He got arrested and, like, you know, his career took a turn because he was caught in a movie theater.
An X-rated movie theater.
Yeah, whacking it. And I was like, I mean, if you're going to an X-rated movie, what the fuck do you think people are going to be doing there?
It's because people thought he was... And it's weird because his show was never really a kid show. He was doing, like, kind of a joke, but people thought it wasn't.
But again, like, he got arrested.
So that's as you watch this, you're like, what kind of people are going? But you remember, like, oh, if... There's no internet.
Yeah.
They're like even Playboy is, like, kind of apparently it's in this weird time where, like, yeah. Playboy could be, like, hard to get a hold of, or you don't, like, you, it's a physical thing you have to have around. Like,
if you
want to watch, like, people having sex, you can't just Google it. Like, you have to go somewhere. So
I can't wait to have that conversation with my son. He's like, back in my day, yeah. I had to steal my neighbor's Playboy to have any fun. You got porn all over the place. No, yeah.
It's a really interesting time. There's also there's a little kind of weirdly personal, like, not is that you see kind of the mood around New York is changing around music and also sexuality. A thing that used to happen, like, I mean, they still have gay bars, but the reason that they even had what were gay bars beyond just being like a place where you can meet people is it was like a safe space. Like, yeah. They weren't, like, you were not safe in the gay bar. Like, there was a thing that people used to do is they would stand outside of gay bars and they would, like, take photographs or of people that would come out and then blackmail them. Mm-hmm. Like, so gay bars would have, like, well-knowns would have people that would, like, keep that away. They'd have to, like, pay off the cops because not everybody was out. And, like, so there was a lot of shit that went on. But, like, it kind of hints on in the show is the start of The Loft, which was literally a guy's loft, which was originally started as, like, just a like, kind of a gay dance club in this guy's loft, which later became Paradise Garage, which, have you ever heard of it? Like, it is kind of world famous. It was a garage that became that they turned into a club. It didn't serve alcohol. You could not get in unless you were a member. They only had memberships once a year. Like, you could become a member at one time during the year, and you had to, like, physically go there.
You know a lot about this club
because my dad actually used to it. Because it was like it became like thus like. So much of modern music is influenced from what came out of that place. Like, again, if anybody knows anything about music, like, any outsider group are the people that are really pushing music, right? Like, they're the groups that are really making new stuff. Because they're inherently, like, they're not holding up to standards, right? So, right. Best music of time, gay clubs. But, like, it had, I think it was every other night. So, I think, like, whatever, 2 days a week it was straight, and then on weekends and, like, holidays it was mixed. And he's like, that place was amazing. Like, the music that would come out of that place was fantastic. Like, real DJs would go there all the time. Like, you could literally hear the influences of that place there. And, like, it's cool that show, like, touches
that's
on
awesome.
There. Yeah, so yeah. That show is,
but not in your top three.
No, but it's really, really good. Why am I Fargo is still a really good show. It's never made my top three list, but it's a good show and people should watch it. And Ewan McGregor's in this last season and he's really good. Handmaid's Tale. Is that right? Is that
the not in your top three.
It's not. Again,
that's fine. I don't know for sure that it's in my top three either, but
this is personal. Again, these are like shows that are just getting into things that I'm inherently interested in.
You're not interested in women. Women's rights.
I know. I'm interested in women.
Lie.
Yeah. I'm not interested in women being slaves. And that show has issues for me. Like, it has pacing issues.
Yeah,
it's not perfect. But it's a really good show. People should watch that show. It's a good show. It's not. It probably would have been on my list or had to fight for it if I had finished it. And I'm mad I didn't. And I think it...
Wait, what? You didn't finish Hammond?
No. This... was Insecure this year.
And the second season was...
Yeah, so I was still on the first season, and I hadn't caught up, which is... I really like the first season. It probably would have been on my list last year if I had finished it. It's only because I haven't. If I had, I could probably say I'd be fighting for that. Like, there'd be a fight for...
I feel like there's a theme that women-based shows are not making your top three. I don't want to, you know, draw any conclusions... for why that may be.
In my head, I'm like, well, again, these are just things that I'm interested in. There isn't a network show on my thing. I don't like sitcoms.
Yeah.
I just don't like sitcoms. Racist. Mr. Robot. Oh, sorry, no. American Vandals. That fucking show. I really, really like that show.
I like that show, but...
It's such a surprise. I did a lot of thinking about this today. I was surprised by it. I was. Okay. I told you about it, so, like, it had gone through some people before it gotten to you.
So, like, you had no idea. You were just like, oh, let me just watch this show.
Someone said, you should watch it. It's good. That's it. Because he sent me in an email. They didn't tell me what it was about.
What's the difference between you saying, hey, you should watch that show?
Because it's, you should watch, that's like a sentence. Like, I said more words to you. You know what I mean? Like, I literally didn't know anything about it going into it. Like, I didn't know what it was about.
I didn't know anything about it going into it.
I had said more words to you about that show. I had.
I don't remember. I'm fine. Fair enough.
But like, I, it's a really clever and interesting look on the true crime show. Like,
it's like a Making a Murder satire. It's also based on loosely based on actual events.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. Like, to say it was well done, I don't think it's a surprise.
Because of how
true crime thing, like, that's not a surprise.
Because it so deftly does it. Like, the fact that they made it
does it really well. Yeah,
and that's like it, yeah. And it doesn't just pick one part of the true crime thing. It literally goes down the laundry list of it, and it's funny, and it's also kind of cautionary about it. Like, it picks out, like, hey, guess what? If you do this with anybody, you can make anybody seem guilty. No, yeah. The fact that they even found a kid that sounds like he already works for NPR, like, I'm shocked. Like, no,
he was good. The star of the fucking show is Dylan.
Oh, yeah, no.
He is fan-fucking-tastic.
I just mean, in his voice, the kid sounds so much like he's already a This American Life reporter Dylan is fucking great. It has one of my funniest moments when they're sitting on the couch and he's like, I don't get the plot of Inception. And like, there's almost like a fourth wall breaking thing where like his friend's reaction is like not a joke. It's like he's actually frustrated. Dylan is fantastic. Love that show. Legion has flaws, but I like that show exists. I think people should watch it.
It's... I think it's the best TV show... or superhero-based TV show.
I don't know that I would disagree with that. I can't think of one that's better. I haven't seen... There's some that I haven't seen, but, like, from what I see, I would say that's true. Yeah. That thing's really good. That thing's really, really good. I also really like Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, I haven't watched it because...
It's on a weird streaming thing, but... that show does not look cheap. Like,
which is so confusing. Why would they put it on...
So either A, they were able to achieve that with a budget that isn't as big as you think it is, because like you look at the bridge and like this fucking looks like a movie, like this is.
I'm confused by some of these streaming site like choices because they have some major actors on some of these.
So the only way you can see the show is you have to subscribe to CBS's specific streaming, and it's not like it's not the streaming you get by just having a cable subscription. It's on top of that. It's a charge on. It's crazy.
I mean, and it makes no fucking sense. So like you get to watch like a show for a monthly subscription.
I mean, you basically get...
Who cares about everything else on CBS?
Yes. It's ridiculous. But the show doesn't look cheap. So, like, or either A, they gave him a lot of money, or the director did a fantastic job of making it look like that. I actually love the Cleon redesign. Love the cast. Michelle Yeoh is fucking awesome. Love Michelle Yeoh.
What time period does this take place?
It takes place... I think it's after Enterprise...
Sorry. Oh,
the
TV show.
Enterprise? Yes, it's after.
Which was like the original.
It's not the
timeline of the original Enterprise.
Yes. And it's like they're just they're not as because in Enterprise they just get their ass whooped all the time. Like, they don't even really have shields in that. It's basically it's sometime before like Kirk and Spock.
Okay.
Because like, spoiler, Sarek is in it. Which implies that Spock is also of it. You don't know how old Spock is.
Sarek is Spock's
father. The main character, the woman who is also fantastic, she's really good in it. Her parents were killed, and she was raised by Sarek.
Okay.
You don't see Spock, but it is implied that he's around. There's a plot thing that like that goes with him being around. I think the assumption is that he is maybe younger, or they're around the same age.
Okay.
So whatever that is. The clowns look cool. This show actually does something which I'm glad they did, is that like though each episode may have like kind of a different thing, they are all related. It's about basically the war between the Klingons. Like it starts between them, like with them starting a war with the Klingons. It is all about that.
Yeah.
Like the original Next Generation is fantastic, but that show is a fucking relic. Like there are times in that show where like one episode you're like, are they at war with the Cardassians? And the next episode, Worf's parents come to visit. And you're like, what the fuck? like it does it all the time. Or Picard goes on vacation, and you're like, what? Like,
I don't like when my parents are around.
That's an episode, if you didn't know. Like, there's an episode where his fucking parents come to visit. And, like, you never get a sense of, like, if things are really a problem or not. Like, regardless of the little science fiction things they do in each episode, it is all about their war with the fucking Klingons. Like, that's really cool. And I love Star Trek. Mindhunters is also a cool show. I like
Mindhunters. All of these are not in your top three. This is an honorable mention.
I wonder if you'll talk about it, but the last season of Leftovers felt good.
I'm surprised you liked it.
I'm glad it got a good ending. That show is ridiculous. But, like, after I was on board with, like, this is just Lindelof just doing his, like, this is all the shit. It's like, once you realize it's all the ideas he had for Lost, just like jacking off all over the place. Like, okay, they fucking go to Australia at the fucking, I don't know what it is. Is his wife Australian? I don't know.
His dad went to Australia for some reason, I think because the National Geographic told him to go there. Oh, because, yeah, it told him...
No. Like, it's Lindelof's, the writer's... Because in Lost, people go to Australia for, like, the very similar...
Australia. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Okay. All right. So, my actual list, in reverse order, season 3 of Rick and Morty. That show is so good. I love that show.
You will not hear an argument.
The thing about women, people, like, what's his name? Dan Harmon? Is that the director? Yeah. He, like, people had said, like, hey, your writing staff is kind of all dudes. Like, maybe you should be more diverse. So he went and hired, like, half the writing staff is women. And, like, you've heard people on the internet, like, complain, like, oh, they're wrong. This is the best written season forever. Like, whatever changes they made. People
complain about
it? Yeah, they think they ruined it. This is
the greatest season they've had.
Even, like, every second of that is packed with such smart jokes and clever things. People are fucking crazy. It's, like, whatever changes they made are for the better. They're good. Keep doing it.
It's fantastic.
It's fucking amazing. Love that show. It's just, it's so good. And I think,
Go ahead.
The season finale isn't maybe what I wanted, but I think it's the right thing to do. They basically reset everything at the season finale. Like, did you see it? Oh, never mind. Did you see it? Well, whatever.
I saw it, but what are you talking about?
They basically reset it in that, like thematically. Like, Jerry and Beth get back together. The kids are at home. And it just kind of resets it. Because the last season, it was about them. This season about them being divorced.
Yeah, and the kids, whatever.
They kind of just, like... And they even mentioned, like, things will be kind of more like season one, which I think was the right thing because it gives them latitude to do stuff. It's just super smart. It knows how to play with itself. The fucking, the Citadel of the Ricks episode is fucking amazing.
The Rick Lantis episode, is the greatest, that's the best TV episode I've seen all year.
So good. And again, that's another one that, like, every second shit is just cut. Like, the references, the jokes, the clever dialogue is just shooting out of people.
I think I watched that episode 3 or 4 times.
So good.
I watched it twice the first night. And I think I watched
I texted you the image of, like, because I died laughing. I had to pause it because I kept laughing of the debate of the Ricks and all the different Ricks. It was like, it was military Rick, private sector Rick, reverse Rick, outrage Rick, reverse Rick, outrage Rick, juggling Rick. And, like,
General Rick was number one. Yeah.
And if you watch later when they ask General Rick, when he's in the debate, he just says more lasers. And he's like, you could take more time to answer the question. And he just doesn't say anything else.
Yeah, no. That is it would be difficult for me. The challenge, like, Master of None, I feel, had some episodes that rose to the top of, like, some of the best 30 minutes I've seen all year. But that Rick Lantis might be...
It's fucking great. It's amazing.
Fantastic.
It's so, so good. The show deals with the fact that, like, these people aren't heroes. Like, Rick is like, I was a terrible father. Like, I'm an awful human being. Like, but love that show. So that's my number 3. Number 2 is Big Little Lies.
Really?
I said it when I saw it. I'm like, dude, this is one of my favorite shows this season. Of the year.
That is surprising.
Really?
I'm surprised by that.
I really like that show.
It was too aggravating for me to be... Like, it was a great fucking show. There's too much in it that's too aggravating for me.
this is a show that, like, as I saw the previews, like, I do not want to watch white women in yoga pants jog and hear about, like, their brunches. Like, I don't. Like, I was so opposed to this. And I think, was it you that told me, or someone told me?
I told you.
Or maybe it was, like, people that I worked with. No, it was people at the coffee shop. Because, like, apparently, like, they were, like, really into it. They'd read the book or whatever. And it is, though. And the best part is, it's not like, oh, it's not that. It is that. It is, like, rich white ladies in yoga pants. But, like, the show did, like, the fact that it was able to, like, make me relate to them. And it made them people. Like, it wasn't... It's like, they are this thing. We're not going to say that they're not rich and kind of spoiled and catty and dumb. But they are, like, they have a bunch of other aspects to them. Like, they felt fully fleshed out.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, Reese Witherspoon was always one of those actresses that, like, people would be like, oh, she's amazing, she's whatever. And, like, I didn't dislike her, but, like, I had never seen something that, like, made that, like, I was like, oh, yeah, she, like, that made me connect like that. And it's also... a lot of the movies she's did are just not things I'm interested in.
Yeah.
This thing, like, I get it. She is... The performances, this show might have some of the best.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman was fantastic in this, and she's so probably going to get all the awards for
She should.
It. But...
Her and...
I feel that it was... It's a harder role, and it's more successful how Reese Witherspoon...
She's great. Like, I would agree with
it
you.
It is so understated... Because, like, again, Nicole Kidman, she's in a domestic violence situation.
Yeah, it's a little,
So she's got to balance, like, the relationships and hiding it and yada yada. So, like, I don't want to say it's easier for her to get a good performance.
But it's more along the lines of what you would expect, right?
Yeah, like you're writing situations where you have to act in different ways. Reese, like, is just the subtlety of how... Are you a crazy, overbearing mom, but also likable and approachable? Like, it's like she plays that part fantastically. Like, she's fantastic.
I really, really like that show. Again, not without flaws, but, like, I think the writing and, like, their performances are just. If you don't enjoy that, you shouldn't be watching television. Like, they're so, so good. And it's actually really visually interesting. I think it does some really nice things with some of the visuals that, I don't know, I kind of like. I didn't expect.
There's a couple of things in there that like, I stopped watching because I was so angry.
You really didn't like Alexander Skarsgård, right?
It was just his fucking role as a vampire, but now I don't have teeth. Like... I don't like his choices in acting, but even, like, just some of the writing, like, the stuff with the kids, like, it's just so fucking hard to watch, man. Like, it was so fucking aggravating to
Okay, so, is this because, like, just generally, is it because, like, as a parent, there's, like, you're kind of, like, putting yourself, and you're like, that's really fucked up, and,
I can't honestly say that. I would imagine it's because I'm a parent, but
yeah. I would agree that the teachers are fucking terrible. Fuck the teachers.
But it just seems so far from reality, and it would just made it difficult to watch at points. Like, I force myself to watch it, and then some of that stuff sort of dies out, or it becomes a little bit more realistic with how that works. And again, some of the other choices that they make, I think, make it worth watching through. But for whatever reason, there were parts of it that were just infuriating.
The only part that, like, I thought, like, all right, this seems grossly unrealistic was, like, the teacher, that thing that the teacher does, which is, I think we talked about a bunch. I think I kind of, although it totally bothered me, I kind of wrote it off as, like, this is rich white people land. Like, this is already fairy tale land. And I also don't have children, so there's no, like, I can't put myself there. But... I love that show. That I say that to your thing about I don't have any women on my list.
Yeah.
That show is amazing.
In your face.
And my number one show is Master of None. Despite all of the shit that I've talked about that show. Because I've talked a lot about the shit about how bad some of the parts are. But they're only so bad because there are a couple episodes in there that are so high. That, like, this is a case of, like... It probably, as a whole package, probably not as well-rounded. But there are some things in there that are the brightest stars in the sky. That, like, you see this and you're like, you could be a legend. Like, whoever, if you wrote this, like, what, Indian dude? Like, I forgot to say. Is there, like you could be a fucking legend. Like, you could be, like, literally the next Woody Allen. Like, you could, whatever you think of him, he, like, changed cinema. Like, whatever you think of, like, like, as far as, like, his influence on stuff, like, you could be that. Like, this is amazing. Like, its highs are so high that, like, I can't, like, I, the best episodes I watched more than one time this year.
Absolutely.
I couldn't, like, I that's not like me.
The penultimate show.
The penultimate one, there's the one where they go to the dinner at the, like.
The Thanksgiving, I know you're not as high on that as I am. Like, that Thanksgiving show, another moment that brought tears to my eyes.
That one did, like, that one's fine. It just didn't resonate with me. That one actually felt more like a television show. Than some of the, like, I felt in some of its best moments, for me personally, it felt less like a television show.
I get what you're saying.
And that felt like more like a TV show. But it is a TV show.
The best TV show.
Yeah, I would agree.
And a story in a way that has not been told before. I will say that I'm not, like, again, I don't disagree with that list. I am surprised, Mr. Robot?
I was about to say, this is the only year it's not on there. Because
why?
Because I need to watch it again. That's what I need to do. Like, I felt I honestly kind of, to be honest, I kind of just flipped a coin on Rick and Morty and Mr. Robot. And it's because, like, if I don't do that, Mr. Robot will be on there every year. Like, I could easily right now, if I walk out of this room, I come back in here and say that Mr. Robot is the best show. Mr. Robot, I love
this season. Was really good.
It's really good. And despite, like, what, even though, like, you're like, I don't think it should go this way, like, the way the show works with it, that I appreciate about it, is it doesn't try to, like, do twists on you. If there's going to be a twist, it very clearly tries to foreshadow them. Like, it wants the audience to know before the characters do. Like, when
second season, not so much, but
there isn't really a twist in
the fact that he was in jail.
Yeah, but, like, I don't think that's not a, I don't, like, when I'm talking about, like, kind of defiant, what changes the over. So, like, the idea that Elliot is Mr. Robot, like, the audience clearly, if you don't know, you're an idiot. Like, they know and they want you to know. And this season does something where it seems to hint at time travel, that it may be, like, it clearly is, like, whether that is a thing or not, like, it may not be. Because, again, just like, but, and that's what I think it does is really well, is that, like, it foreshadows those things, but then it plays around, like, is this real or not? Because, again, you have totally unreliable narrators. Narrators. So, again, with Elliot, you start kind of like, wait, is he this guy? Like, there are parts where you're like, wait a minute, is he? Is he not? And you start questioning the degree to which, right? And similarly, as they throw this thing out there, I'm like, oh my god, what the fuck? Ugh. Also, this is the thing that, like, actually I had to argue against, is how much I liked, and this is where Master Nun had the benefit of I saw it more than once, is that episode of Mr. Robot where he spends it with the kid.
A great fucking episode, man.
I feel like if I had seen that one more than once, it probably would have been higher.
Come on, dude.
So all of everything, because I actually had to rewatch a couple episodes of for something way earlier on. Mr. Robot, I think it's probably not on there because I didn't see it more than once. Everything else I saw more than once.
Okay. And again, like, I'm not going to, obviously, like, it's your list or whatever, but, like, I'm surprised that Mr. Robot isn't on there. And again, making my list is
going to
be very difficult. But, like, Rick and Morty
is really good.
Talk
me out of Rick and Morty. Talk me out of Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty is very smart writing, very funny, and I feel hits on very specific themes that you like. Is it like...
Okay, wait. I'm changing.
Is it innovative?
So,
okay. In the sense that...
All right.
Like, you've never seen this before.
So, I actually think Rick and Morty does things that I haven't seen before.
At points. At points, it does.
So wait, I'm getting rid. I'm replacing Rick and Morty with this. We've talked me out of it with Mr. Robot, and because, and this is a thing that like, it's a part of Rick and Morty that I don't want them to change, and I don't think they should change, and I don't think they could change. I don't like toilet humor. I absolutely don't. I don't. But like, it is, and I don't think they should change it because it's clearly something that they like, and it's like, it's part, like it's a package. Like you get Poopy Butthole with the really funny episode about like Rick making a fucking alternate reality for his daughter to play in. Like I don't like toilet. I just don't. It's not interesting to me. It's kind of late. And that's the thing it does that like I don't like, but I wouldn't. There's nothing about Mr. Robot that it does that I don't like. Yeah. Oh, and I almost forgot about him. I want to mention him. I forgot the actor that plays the dude with, who works at the car dealership, who's like the agent of the Dark Army in the season.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
I didn't realize he worked at the...
He's like an agent. He's like their agent.
He's from Mr. Robot also. Master of None.
Yes, and he's in Boardwalk Empire too. Yeah. He's the only actor to ever win a thing for Boardwalk Empire. Also, one of the people secretly is black that you don't know is actually black.
No, he's not. Carnival is his name, right?
Yeah, his mother is black Cuban.
No way.
Yes, his father is Italian. His mother is really dark too. He is fucking amazing. He is so good.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and it's one of the things where like I bet you when I start this like there's no way they paid him to be on the rest of the season, but it was fine. It's fine. He's so good.
He's wonderful in that. But I will one up you. Joey Badass.
Yes.
Best fucking actor, and he's not gonna get credit.
Yeah, he's so good.
He should be getting all the fucking.
He's so
awards.
Good.
Like. This is
what where, is his does this character have a name in the show?
I can't remember his name, but he is one of the best actors I've ever seen, and I don't think he gets enough credit because it doesn't seem like he's acting.
And also, I don't his personality actually isn't like that.
But that's my point.
Yeah, right? It is.
Like,
yeah,
and again, like not to bring race in this, but like I feel that you think that that's how.
He is.
Would act, or that's like it wouldn't be difficult to act that way. That motherfucker sells every fucking scene. He steals every fucking scene that he's in. He is so fucking good. It's such a well written character,
and on paper,
wish he got more.
On paper, it makes no sense. Like we're gonna have this hardened killer gangster that only pretty much Leon. Exclusively talks. About 90s and 80s television.
Yeah,
he's so good.
His name is Leon on the show.
Also, I'm so glad. Let me look up the actor's name. I'm so glad that he actually got more screen time. Is B.D. Wong, who plays.
He's very good.
He's so good, and I'm so glad that he got so much more screen time to like spread his wings as like the diplomat and White Rose, because he's amazing.
No, he's very good. Yeah. But I was shocked that Mr. Robot.
You talked me out because I forgot. I actually meant to like mention that about Rick and Morty because it's also a thing that I know like it's a part that comes with it. It's like you can't take that out because that's who they are, and I don't want them to change that. But like I don't like toilet humor. Like I don't like those weird names are not my thing.
Yeah. It's very smart at times.
Good.
It's hilarious, but not every show is. Every show is good. Not every show is amazing. Its best episode this season, like I said before, is as good if not better than any other TV I've seen. But. That's one episode. The rest of it is just really fucking funny.
I don't know. That first episode where they go to the psychiatrist's office
is so
Pickle good. Pickle Rick! Which is... Okay,
Pickle Rick is so good!
This is a place that show has gotten itself into, which is unfortunate, is that, like, the audience around that show is super toxic. If you've heard, like... Because, like... And it's not their fault, but they take the wrong lessons from the shows.
I feel... So, I... This is going to be a weird juxtaposition, but the fans or the fervored fans of Rick and Morty, I feel, are why Dave Chappelle quit the Chappelle Show.
Yes, I would agree.
Like, Chappelle quit the show because people were laughing at the wrong, for the wrong reasons, at the jokes. And that is what's wrong, I think,
with it's clear, like, if you have a bunch of people that are, like, using the thing to reinforce their own personality traits, like, bad personality traits, and ignoring the fact that the show is telling you that these are bad things, but, like, they're taking kind of the wrong lessons. Like, even when the McDonald's Szechuan sauce thing came out, the reaction, which McDonald's didn't handle that great.
Whatever.
They didn't handle that great, but, like, the more, like it, when they asked Justin Rollin about it, or the other creator about it, he was like, "Dude, I feel bad for McDonald's. Like, they didn't ask you to be put in this position. The reaction a normal human being should have, not standing outside McDonald's with, or being mad at people that work there. You know what I mean? Like, you can be mad or, like, take disagreement with, like, McDonald's corporate, right? But, like, people are, like, pissed at, like, drive-through people. Like, dude."
You know, people are assholes.
Yeah, they're assholes. But, like, that show, that's not why I took it down, but, like, I feel they're in a really weird spot where, like, now they're aware of, like, they're clearly aware of how toxic, like, parts of their audience are. And I don't know how to remedy it. Because, like, the show goes out of its way to kind of tell you that these are all terrible people and you should not do what they do. But, like, and it just made them worse. I do not envy them.
Yeah.
So there we go. It's Master of None because... Also, damn, that some of those episodes, like the ones that, like, everybody know are really good, do not look like the rest of the show. Like, they are amazing. Like, the shot when they... Like, first off, the one episode that's all in black and white that's based off of the French film, the Italian film, The Black...
Oh, you're talking Master of None, yes.
Is fantastic. The penultimate one where they go to that museum. That whole sequence is beautiful. The scene where he's looking up as
I want a 4K TV just for that.
It's so good.
It's beautiful.
This is my complaints of this show is that its highs are so high that, like, when those two characters are just talking, right, and they're doing, like, their thing, like when they walk into the CVS or whatever. That doesn't sound like anybody wrote it. Somebody probably wrote it, but doesn't sound like anybody wrote it. When they're at the museum and the stuff they're saying doesn't sound like anybody wrote it. And it feels like in Aziz's writing, sometimes he feels like he always has to be telling jokes or being entertaining. Like, he always has to be trying to entertain and, like, kind of be the showman. Those parts are where he's not trying to do that. And he's at his best. And he's still doing it, right? Like, he's still, like, being entertaining to her, but, like, it feels like it's not forced, where the other stuff, where kind of a lot of the other episodes, if, like, the nipples and toes, whatever that joke, like, that thing goes on for... In the Thanksgiving episode. That thing, you liked it, but that goes on way too fucking long. Like, it's an example of him, like, feeling like... It feels like he's trying to entertain you. Yeah. Where, like, the best episodes is when he's doing none of that. And, like, the paper disappears. Like, all you see are those people. You don't hear the writing.
Yeah.
Like, the scene where they're in the club and it's that red color. Yeah. And, like, there's that awkwardness between them. It's like... Dude, I was, like, pulling my hair out. I was like, I have lived this moment 1,000 fucking times.
I know,
like,
we talked about...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we talked about that in our... In one of our other podcasts. But I... Like... Just... feeling exactly what he's feeling. And being able to understand that and see that. Not by dialogue, but just by...
Yes.
Acting and... The body...
The body language, the facial... Body
language, like... The space between characters and what's going on,
it's
wonderful. And even, like, the reactions of when they realize it's bad, like, what happens to their character, like, it just instantly becomes like, I don't want to be here, like, just, it's just fantastic.
It's funny to say that, like, Aziz is the best when he's not talking because he's known for yelling. And, like, it's such a small thing. Is it that same episode or the episode after it where he runs into the ex from the it's such a small moment, but it's fucking brilliant. Like, it's a brilliant thing to throw in there, and it doesn't amount to anything.
Yeah.
But it's great that it doesn't amount to anything.
Yeah, it's very, again, like, wonderful writing that is a situation literally lived. Like,
yeah.
You think about, like, oh, like, should I say this? Should I not say this? And what they say is exactly
so
what
good.
Would happen in that situation. All the things that you want to say or don't want to say don't get said. You say little tiny things and you move on. And
the dating episode is actually probably my favorite, not, like, episode. That felt like an episode. That episode's fantastic.
That's good, but...
That one's really fucking good. Because it's an interest... It's... People have done that show before, but that's a modern take on, like, what that is.
Exactly. And with the Tinder or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
And, like,
and again, like, that was an interesting one for me because I can't relate to it because that just was terrifying. That was, like, a horror episode for me. To be in that fucking world and I'm on, like, a fucking app.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, like, let's just go fucking blind date. Fucking nightmare.
And to watch them go terribly wrong, kind of good, because that's the thing, is like it knows how to balance the, like, the stuff that, like, oh, this seems like it's going somewhere, with the, like, ones that are just fucking terrible.
Yeah, that's a fucking nightmare. And then one of the funniest moments
in the
show is just like, so you thought I was racist and you still had sex with me.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I guess I can see that, but you should really probably ask
this ain't about me.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's probably racist.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay.
All right, that's my list. What do you got? Have you narrowed this down?
I feel like I may have. I want to give my shout outs to shows that will not be in my top three, but big ups to them. Stranger Things.
This season of Stranger Things?
This season of Stranger Things I like better than the first season of Stranger Things.
Even though it becomes the X-Men halfway through with Storm Nito. She goes off to meet Storm Nito. It ends with one of these. Like,
so, again, like the
I stuck my hand out, yeah.
The idea that it is not the best way that they could have set up future seasons. I will agree with that, but I'm forgiving of them for that scene.
I'm not opposed to that, but there's a part where it's a couple episodes where it literally becomes the X-Men. And it even ends with, like, someone holds out their hand, which they kind of shake and use their mind to do something, which is, again,
that's a choice.
I'm not
right?
opposed
that's
to that.
A choice.
But, like, I was watching it alone, but I felt like I was looking around, like, is this now the X-Men? Like, it's okay
that's
if it
choice.
Is.
Yeah,
but
it's a choice. Again, not in my top three, but when I give a shout out. Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Shout out.
That's, yeah.
I feel like that may suffer from what initially Mr. Robot suffered for you, is that, I mean, they just put out good seasons after good seasons, and so it's just like, well, yeah, sure.
I think this season also suffers from no fault of its own of being the one before you know is the last one.
Yeah.
That you know, because there's certain things that you know, like, they're saving this guy to kill. If they're, whether to kill him or let him live, they're saving him for, or her, with regard, you know, for the next season, right? So
yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Again, this is not in any particular order.
Question though: is this the season that they take place in space, or is that next season?
That this is this current season, but I'm counting the last season, which technically ended in 2017. It was the best season they've ever.
Is that
had.
The Ghost Rider one?
Yeah. Okay. So it started out with the Ghost Rider, and then ends in. What do they call it? It's essentially like a Matrix type episode where they supplant the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in a Matrix type world that they are not aware of fully, and they have to sort of figure out that they're in a Matrix. I cannot, you know, in good I can't...
In good conscience,
like, recommend watching that show, especially not from the beginning.
Is it a thing that you are so deep at this point that, like, it's too much to dig yourself out?
That's what happened to me at the end of season three. Like, at the end of season three, like, I was like, I will watch a episode of season four, and it better be fucking good, or I'm done with this fucking show. And again, like, the first two seasons, the first season was up and down. Second season has some horrible, horrible moments. and it's tough to get through.
Because you have a question? Because yeah. I just recently saw we rewatched the Avengers. How did Agent Coulson live? Because he died in that movie, but he lives
Kree blood.
Who Kree bloods him?
I think technically S.H.I.E.L.D. does.
They just someone injects him with Kree blood and he comes back.
Someone uses a dead Kree alien and does essentially like a transfusion. That
does he have superpowers
heals,
now?
He heals him. He has Kree blood, which allows him to heal separately, but he doesn't necessarily have superpowers.
Okay. Are there Kree in the first season?
I don't know if there's Kree in the first season.
So they just have the Kree just to bring whatever.
No, that happens in the first season, though.
Okay.
That might happen because they explain
because he's in the first
they explain how he's still
because in the cinematic universe like he's dead and in the show like apparently not he's on CBS now.
So he did technically die.
They just brought him back,
They just brought him back or whatever. Anyway, so again, I can't in good conscience, man.
As long as you don't recommend the Inhumans, we're good.
I haven't even. But last season was good. This season has started out better than last season. And I feel like they're self-aware now. Like, there's literally an episode in this newest season where they're like, oh, we're in space? Yeah, because we haven't done that before. And, like, so there's, like, an awareness of it that sort of allows for...
So, the thing about that show, too, is that I always thought it looked super cheap. Like, it looked like that shit, like I funded it. Like, it looked like I funded it with the money I had in my pocket. So, is that spaceship...
The recent seasons have done better at that.
So that spaceship, is it Battlestar level?
Battlestar.
It's like, it looks like Battlestar? Okay. Battlestar. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, again, not like... top of the line.
No, but Battlestar looked good. It looked good. Yeah, that's fine.
It works.
Okay.
Shout out to that. A shout out to Big Little Lies, but again, like just the pain. I couldn't.
Now who's cutting the women?
Hey man, you don't know what my list is. Shout out to Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Ugh, I tried. Nope.
It's fucking funny.
I just don't like that style of comedy. Yeah, I just can't. I tried. I came on after like something I watched on Hulu, and I was like, all right, I'll try this. I got 5 minutes in, and I was like, nope, I would rather sit here in silence.
Shout out to Black-ish.
Okay.
Does a good job. Talks about stuff in ways and in honesty that I don't think most shows will do.
Sitcoms need that, but it's still a sitcom.
Yeah. Shout out to Glow.
Yeah.
Starts off bad.
Does it?
But gets better.
I've heard decent things about it.
It is a steady and slow climb into getting better, but it does get better, and I'm interested to see more seasons from that show. Jane the Virgin, I sort of fell off on. I don't even know why I mentioned that. So
okay.
So I gotta.
Just start talking out loud. What do you got there?
Master of None.
Okay.
Mindhunter.
Ooh.
Legion.
Okay.
Leftovers. Mr. Robot. Handmaid's Tale. The Good Place. Good Place is not going to be in my top three, but. Fucking good show.
I believe you.
People should watch that show. Watch The Good Place. Watch The Good Place. Watch The Good Place.
Save The Good Place.
Really, 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 really funny writing. Very inventive writing.
It's a sitcom.
Good acting. I mean, don't be racist. It is good.
So, all right. For what you had on your list.
Yeah.
Wait, read it again.
Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, wait, sorry, all right. I feel like Leftovers has to be a lock.
Not necessarily. Why?
Because you were the one that even got me to watch it. It was on your list that first season. And this is, by far, its best season.
Okay.
It's good, And it's like, just knowing off of like how much you liked that show, and like, it was, I feel like you liked it as much that it could stand up any year.
Again.
And this season is so much better than the other
ones.
What
makes it difficult is it's up against
Handmaid's
Tale, Mr. Robot, Legion, Mindhunter, Master of None.
I'm just going off of what you, how you, how impassionately you talked about The Leftovers in the past. It, like, you have to, okay, if you take it, you gotta explain it to me, because it's a show that, like, I didn't know about, that you came out were very, very strong on, like, super strong on, and this is by far its best season, so if you're gonna kick it off, that's fine, explain to, talk me through why you kick it off. Otherwise, I feel like it's a lock.
Alright, so let me start with number one.
Okay.
Number one is Master of None.
Okay, fine. We've, yeah. Same reasons?
Same reasons.
You like more of the other episodes.
I like, yeah. I mean, that's cool. Again, I like it across. The penultimate show where they are dancing, that is the most pure,
great,
pure scene I've ever seen. Like,
where he's bad at dancing, too?
That is not, that, like, that is so pure that that's not acting. That's just, that's like a voyeur just watching a moment with two people that are having a precious moment together.
This is so, I know your list, but this is something I forgot to say. Forgot to
it's
say about
beautiful,
it.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
That so one of my complaints about the first season was it. You could tell that he wrote all the characters. Like, it was a thing where, like, I don't believe that you two would break up because you're the same person. Like, you're finishing each other's joke. Like, what's the girl's name?
Shit.
Whatever the actress is fucking fantastic.
She's amazing.
She's great, and like, they're different people. Like, they're actually, yeah, this yeah. time, they're different people. She does an amazing job. They pick the right girl. She feels like a full person with her own dreams, her own desires. It is not the case. It is the Zach Wright term, where she is not, like, perfectly finishing his sentences. They don't exactly have, like, necessarily the same sense of humor, per se.
Right.
Like, they feel like different people. She's fucking fantastic. Okay, sorry. I just wanted to say that, because she makes it. Yeah, she makes a huge, huge difference in the season.
Yeah. So that's my number one. Mindhunter, I think, can fall off.
I didn't hear you talk about that show much. I liked it a lot, but that's so really Mindhunter, that's
the
my
first
alley.
Episode I thought was terrible.
I'm just trying to remember it.
I did not like the dialogue. It was like, it was as though it was trying to be a Quentin Tarantino movie.
The dialogue where?
Just the dialogue between the characters throughout the first episode.
I'm trying to remember the first episode, though.
It was that it felt like every single person was waiting for the other person to finish speaking so that they can give their intelligent
can you remind me what, like, that what happens in that first episode, because, like, what kicks him
it's
off?
It's really just introduction. So, like, it starts off where he is essentially like a crisis negotiator.
Oh, yes, never mind. Yes, I got it. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
And so there's scenes where he first meets his partner and they're, like, talking in the car, and it's literally, and part of his bad acting, part of his bad writing.
He's not
but
great.
He's waiting for him to finish his line so he can give some huge soliloquy information back. That makes no fucking sense.
His partner is a much better like actor. He is not very good.
Yeah.
He's passable.
It does get better after that, though, and it's just super fucking interesting.
Have you seen that, like, that when you do the side by side videos,
yeah,
where it's like, that is literally, it's like word for word.
Yeah, that actor that plays the serial killer,
the one that cut off women's heads
and all the rest of it. He is amazing. A lot of the other acting in that is actually really good. What's his name? Edmund. So much of that I really, really do like. I just think that there's enough.
That's fair.
Enough issues that I'm not okay with.
Show looks great, though, but that's Fincher. It's like, everything looks good.
Yeah, everything he does is great. But Handmaid's Tale also, I think, is very good, but makes enough mistakes that I don't think ends up on the list. So that leaves.
It's unfortunate because what's the actress's name?
Moss, Elizabeth Moss. Well,
if she had better material, she'd probably be able to carry it further. She's
wonderful.
It's one of those things where, like, Reese Witherspoon had great material, yeah. So she could, like, where the stuff that, like, she does a great job with what she has.
Talk about acting with eyes.
Yeah.
Like, the transition of her scenes of just, like, pure pain and thinking about her daughter and her situation to faking an emotion when, you know, her mistress comes in or whatever that name is, and then when she leaves, just like all of that in her face, not the words, just she is a phenomenal actress.
So the more I've thought about that show, and I've watched a couple episodes again, I kind of feel like the woman who plays the wife is maybe like the secret like star of that thing.
She's great.
Moss has more to do, but like I think that lady might be a better actor. Like we're talking about giants here. Like I'm not talking about that Moss is bad, but she's fucking.
Here's what
good.
I would, this is where your material comes in better. Like I feel that is a better written character. I love her name is Yvonne Stravinsky whatever. I think she's great, but she's no Elizabeth Moss.
She does an amazing job with like very complicated emotion. Like not that like that's different. Like especially in the ceremony scenes. Like Moss, like there's a lot going on with that with the wife. There's a lot happening there.
I know. Just the sheer material and screen time that Elizabeth Moss has to have and what she has to
do. She's doing a lot with less. She's definitely doing a lot.
It's an ensemble. I think it got nominated like for an ensemble cast. So, like,
that's fair. That's cool.
That is part of it. Like, yep. You have to be able to play off of
Moss. Oh, actually, characters. Now that I think about her friend, the one that she finds later that's working as like a courtesan,
she's
the main character in Star Trek Discovery. Is she not?
No. You're a racist. This is terrible.
Am I, like, imagining?
Yeah.
How am I thinking?
Not all black people look alike.
No, I haven't seen the show in a long time.
She's Pussy from Orange is the New Black. The woman you're thinking of is actually from Walking Dead.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Do they have, like, similar haircuts?
They look similar because they're black
women. No. I mean, But do you know what I'm talking about? Do they have like
I there is a similarity between them, and I would imagine that people would get them confused. But no, that is not the same actor.
Okay.
Anyway, so number one is Master of None. Number two, Leftovers. Number three. Oh, this is tough. I'm not solid on that. Number three, Mr. Robot. Man.
What is the fight for? Is it the fight for two or fight for three?
Fight for two and three. Like, who?
Between those two?
Between those two.
There's not a fourth, though? Like, it's just...
No, yeah. Legion, I really, really love. And again, I think is the best superhero TV show out there.
It's really good.
But...
Audrey Plaza steals the show.
And you could tell I feel like it's one of those like, what's his name? Michael Kenneth, like the Omar, like where we would have had her in like one episode or.
But she showed up, yeah.
But she's fucking amazing.
Well, originally, permanent. Yeah. So the role was originally written for a man. They changed it because she just auditioned for it.
Okay.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like the way that the progress of the show where it started to blame his mental illness on. Whatever.
Yeah, no, I don't like the choice that they made at the end with what was
splitting
all
them,
happening. I agree with that. But I still think it's
So it's between
Leftovers and
okay. That was a really good season of Leftovers.
It was so good.
There's some bad episodes, but as a whole it's good. It's so much like Lost. Like once I finally embraced how much like Lost it is,
able to let go.
Yeah, like dude, I was telling a friend, I'm like, okay, you know how in Lost they would like have this like this episode that gets really excited, has this ridiculous cliffhanger, and the next one is a flashback episode with a character you don't give a fuck about. The show does that. Like it does it to a T. But like to a point where like I think they know they're doing this.
Yeah, no, there's a definite theme. There's a definite theme to it.
Oh, and actually, that's what it is. His wife in The Leftovers is the main character the main character or the police officer in the most recent season of Fargo.
Yeah,
she's really good in this season of Leftovers. She really gets a stretch of wind.
She's the best part of
it. Yeah, she's great. The
best part of it. Yeah, and so I think it just does things. I feel like it went crazy in a way that Lost was afraid to go crazy.
And it needed to go crazy, too. It needed it.
And it does it well?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Like, it's like, no, yeah, they're in a different dimension, and we can send you there, and you can see what's going on.
Because that's the thing that happens. It's like, towards the end of the show, you kind of come to grips with, like, they're never going to tell me what happens. Like, you kind of, like, there's a part where, like, you feel like, I think they may never tell us, right?
Right.
But they don't. They literally sit you down at the table and they tell you.
But and then and this like, is oh. the success. This is the success of it that Lost. Maybe Damon like learned is that with Lost he was trying to make the same point that it's not about the fucking mystery. It's about the whole story.
He still has a problem with that, but he does a better job.
But this by telling all right, here's what happened allows you to focus. That's not what the fucking point is.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
The point is about the relationships and love, and it doesn't matter if I'm a god or I can live forever or not. That's not the point. This is a story about life.
He sticks the landing. We are right where he. I think it appropriately conveys that like that's not the important thing. It's about these things. But everything leading up to that is like it's him like trying to force you down this path of like no, it's about these things, which.
It's keeping you on track with all this flash.
He needs to get better at that
fantasy, and it's not keeping you on track with
the real story. He needs to get better at that.
I'm okay with that criticism. However, I think it tells a story about. Like I that's something like maybe like the same thing you talked about, like it just hits notes for you. Like
yeah, that's fine.
It hits notes for me where like I've gone through like, you know, struggles like what the fuck is the point? And well that's not finding what the point isn't what the point is. The journey is the point. Like the process is the point. And that's what I love about that show is yeah, the journey is the purpose of that.
To be fair, like you said, that like Lost was afraid to kind of show the thing behind the curtain, and like this show, thankfully does and feels more comfortable with it. And like I was knowing what Lost had been was like they're not going to do it. Like he doesn't have the fucking balls to do it, or doesn't know what he's doing with it. He's not going to send her off into the thing. Like they take things. Directions that you're like, he doesn't have the fucking balls to do this. Or doesn't know... Because I think the fear that Lost had is once we show it, how the fuck do we even make any of this make sense, right? How do we even get back to what we really want to talk about or what? And he conquers that beast. Like, he comes out scarred and stuff, but he slayed that beast, which is... That's a tough thing to do.
And again, in talking about this, like, again, my personal, like... It just hits... on
told you it needs to be on there.
See.
It's the best season of that show.
And so like it but again, like if I'm going to like the criticisms and like what it does wrong versus what Mr. Robot does wrong. My criticism of Mr. Robot is that I don't like that it's weekly.
If
I were able to watch that like back to back to back,
that's how I do it.
It's so much better.
It's the only way to watch that show.
So I would say Master of None, Mr. Robot, Leftovers.
Master of None, Mr. Robot, Leftovers.
Watch The Good Place.
I will give it a try. I've given things a try. This looked like it took a toll on you.
It's a half an hour fucking show.
That's fine. I'm not saying I won't watch it.
I want you to watch the first season.
You just started talking to me about it like right before the holiday break. It's not like I had time.
I want you to watch the first season.
Yeah, you said to start with the first season, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, this is going to conclude our television one. come back. We're going to have a video game one, and this is going to wrap up our best of 2017. Stay up. Take care. Latest.